And what I hope to do towards the end of this, because a lot of times you hear a lesson, you're like, well, that makes sense, but there's uniqueness and there's different angles to things. And so if we're able to, towards the end, we'll take some questions and give some answers. Not that we have it all figured out, but she's going to do all the answering to the questions. But together, that discussion can help. And so that's the goal. So let's pray and we'll get started. I have my time here because I always preach short. I turn this on. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, that you would be with this session. Lord, that we would learn some things together. And Lord, that there would be practical helps along the way. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes what happens when we face difficulties, that we are given some measure of platitude. And even if the platitude response is a right response, often there's no legs to it, right? And if there's no legs to it, then all it is a billboard. And if we have a billboard, you're like, thanks, but it doesn't really help, you know? And so you're going through struggles or chaos and you have, you know, 3 children under 5. And somebody says, well, you just need to trust God. Thanks. I was kind of leaning towards not, right? Like, you know, so we have these, and granted, and the answer is to trust God, but the question is, what do you mean by that? And how does that look? What does that look like in my life right now? And so if you're going to write some things down, one of the things that we know about chaos, so chaos by definition is the idea of confusion. Our 13-year-old, who when my wife was pregnant with our now 9-year-old, so that was 9 years ago, when she was my 13-year-old was like 3 years old, and she had these baby dolls that she named, and for whatever reason, we're weird, you'll get used to that, but she had named her baby doll Communist, Creepy Doll, and Chaos. That's what she's named her baby dolls. And I was hoping for a Margaret Thatcher, but we still haven't got that yet.
They weren't beautiful dolls.
They weren't beautiful dolls, yeah, yeah. And so my wife asked her one day, she was 3, and she says, you've named your baby Chaos, and the other one was named Calculus, which is what she wanted to name the baby. And so she said, you named your baby Chaos. Do you know what chaos means? And my 3-year-old went, yes. And it's like, okay, that's such a great definition of chaos. And one of the things that we want to do, because sometimes you come to a lesson like this, and there's a cookie cutter response that's put over it, but you go, yeah, but that doesn't match my chaos. So if we just tell you, okay, here's how you deal with our chaos, that may not be of help. We need something else. And so one of the things that we need to do is identify that chaos. One of the things that definition of our daughter taught us, that in by nature, chaos is not necessarily from a negative source. Right? Chaos may come from a positive source. Chaos may not come from a mistake. Chaos may come from having to juggle blessings. Okay? And so we have to identify chaos. And so we did a little work on identifying chaos. And so we'll read them and we'll talk about some possibilities. So the goal is, you may see these that we put down, and you're like, yeah, identify. And or you may say, well, that's not where my chaos comes from. Okay? And so we're going to talk about some of these. And so let me first, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. And this verse is given predominantly, or it's given to husbands. And so, but there's also a verse that would help when we're talking about adding wives. The Bible says that wives to reverence their husband. The word for reverence has the idea of to properly orient yourself. To properly orient yourself to where we're headed through you know, a patch of a jungle, and somebody is chopping their way through the jungle, the proper way to orient yourself is following them, or you're going to have to chop your own path. Where if you are properly oriented behind them, then you are of benefit as a navigator, as a lookout, as a warning person. But if you are not properly oriented, then both of you will be head down chopping your way through the jungle, and there'll be so many things that will come. So whether it's the wife or the husband, this idea applies. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, there's two things I want to note there. One is this needs to be done with knowledge. This needs to be done with knowledge. One of the reasons we're doing this is chaos is confusion, so we have to navigate it with knowledge. Okay. The second thing is, it says, being heirs together of the grace of life. Several years ago, that phrase hit me. Like, why doesn't it say being heirs together of the grace of God? Okay? The idea of being heirs of the grace of God talks about our individual salvation, eternity forever, and God's sustaining power in our life. Praise the Lord for all that. But this doesn't say be heirs together of the grace of God. That tells us other place. But this says be heirs together of the grace of life. Like, this life, we have inherited it from God, and particularly marriage is a life inheritance that God has given us for this life. It's a gift from God that we have inherited from Him. Okay? But it also says together. Together. And so in order to navigate chaos or grow closer, we have to have that to be the aim. That this precious gift of life is something that we have to enjoy together. Anything you want to say in introduction? Okay. So we're going to identify chaos. We're going to give you some, and then I would encourage you to talk as a couple. And like, all right, what is our chaos? What is our chaos? And so let me list a couple. First of all, there could be external chaos. Chaos from external places. Confusion. Okay, we're talking, chaos is the idea of confusion. Plates spinning, right? Plates spinning. And so we can list a couple of this. How about the external chaos that comes from your job, right? That could be chaos that brings to your family. Anybody ever have to work overtime? Chaos, right? And now is that a negative thing? Yeah. Is it a positive thing? Yeah. Right? We like to label good and bad. So we're Baptists. Like, this is good and this is bad. Right? But if we're going to be honest, like a wife says, "This, you are working so much. This is chaotic. I need you to stop working." Solution to your chaos? No, it's just different. Right? And so how about this one? When we got married, we had zero family around us. Zero. We had no family support. Our parents lived away. It was just her and it was just me. And I was 20 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. We got married and the next day we went out and looked for jobs. I had $50 to my name. I didn't even have a bank account. I had $50 to my name. I offered it to the preacher for marrying us. Luckily, he turned it down.
It was my $50.
It was her $50. But
just for the record,
I wanted to leave, right? Now, she had a job scheduled for, you know, later that fall. She was going to be teaching. We had no support. And so that could be a level of chaos. So no family. How about family? Can having a lot of family around you be chaos? You're like, because we like that. You're like, no, what you should have is you should be on your own with no family. Or you should be around family. It's like, there's going to be chaos. Right? There's going to be confusion. And so those are external. How about church relationships? right? Those are external, and you could add probably a lot of others, and we have some that could fall under that we divide. And the next one, I'll do the first two, you do the next two. The next one is societal chaos. Do we live in some societal chaos? Yeah. And so there's like the culture that we live in. How about expectations? Both expectations that are put on us by the culture or expectations that are put on us within a religious context to respond to the culture. Right? And these things can happen, and we have this chaos that's swirling around us, and what's our response to it? And often, like, the chaos that bothers me the most is the chaos that I have control over. What bothers me the least is the chaos that I have no control over. Okay? But different people operate differently. We'll talk about that. All right, how about the next one? You do the next one.
Well, so we have opportunities that are around us. There's so many different opportunities in our lives, especially as we add children, church, job. Can't hear me.
Hold on, I'll turn
this
you
is up. Better.
Go ahead.
People don't usually say that. the opportunities that we have in our lives are, there's so many of them. There's so many choices, so many things. And sometimes it's just hard to navigate which thing, when, what's most important, and is it necessary or is it valuable? Mostly, I think for me, I would define chaos as not really having the time to get from one thing to the next. You're dealing with something in this field and it's good. And then before you can even process that, we've moved on to something else. And that's what happens in the nature of our lives. The more busy we are with church and family and all the different parts of us.
Yeah. And so the opportunity chaos can be friends. It can be hobbies. Right? It could be a job promotion that requires more expectations. It could be a sense of obligation to certain things. Anybody ever done something out of obligation? Right? And so in doing that, it imposes a greater pressure. And as she was saying, you're like, wow, it would be nice if all these things would hit us at one time. Right? The responsibility as a person who's working, as a parent, as a husband or a wife, or but these things are not compartmentalized. These things are all happening at the same time. And we like to define chaos as bad, but sometimes chaos is really navigating good opportunities, right? And how, you know, especially as that family grows, now you have a child who wants to play Little League. That's chaos, right? Because now I have to consider what somebody else wants. That's not even just chaos, that's annoying, okay? And so we have to be at the ball field on Monday night, you know? And then you have one kid that wants to do Little League and the other kid that wants to do karate, you know, and another kid that wants to do music lessons. And then you have that weird kid that wants to do all of them, you know? And so these are opportunities. And who doesn't want something great for their kids, right? You know, we want to do this and we want to do this and we want to do this and we want to do this. And pretty soon life is in an upheaval. And you're like, yeah, but what bad thing is happening? You're like, partly, it's a lot of good things. And so navigating those opportunity chaos. The next one we have down as what we would call joyful chaos. Joyful chaos. You want to describe what joyful chaos is?
Well, family and children. Yeah.
Church, ministry, right? Like when kids came into your life, that was awesome, right? Was it chaos? And then you feel guilty for feeling chaotic when it comes to this bundle that God's given you, right? And sometimes we have this bad expectation that we would live in a perfect, clean, non-chaotic life. And one of the things that we find as we study characters in the Scripture, few of those characters in the Scripture lived a life without chaos, without confusion. without upheaval, without being overwhelmed, right? And I'm studying the book of Jeremiah right now, and Jeremiah is like, God is so awesome, I'll say whatever he wants. Huh, I'm so tired and lonely and depressed. And God, but he, you know, it's like all these things are happening at the same time. Okay? So if we're going to navigate or figure out how to deal with or grow closer together in chaos, we got to talk about it, right? If not, we'll just get, we'll start to get, this is me, I'll start to get bothered by this joyful chaos. And instead of saying, these kids, I'll say, these kids, right? And in ministry. And then these things, I'm going to stand still. These things will be in conflict with each other, right? So you have the activity that's happening with your kids, and the activity that's happening at ministry, and the activity that's happening at job, and they're in conflict with each other. And so something good and beneficial and joyful becomes something bad and resentful and hurtful and negative. And partly because we're just trying to figure out how to deal with it. And so let me get the last one. The last one is personal chaos. Personal chaos. Health. How about personality? I have brought chaos to her life. Because my personality is, I'm sitting there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I go, oh, you want to drive to Tampa? To do what? Eat sushi? Isn't there a sushi restaurant here? Yeah, but we could drive to Tampa. What are we going to do with our kids? I don't know. Let's leave them. She's like, well, somebody's got to watch them. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And she wants to sit down and say, okay, kids, while we're gone, do this. We're going to do this. You're going to do this. I'm like, you're taking forever. Right? And then by the time that I realize she's burdened by all the process that it takes to go get sushi down in Tampa, I go, well, then now this is annoying. I don't even want to go. Right? I'm very, I'll call it spontaneous. I'll call it spontaneous. She'll call it, you know, annoying. You know, and she's a planner. She's a detail person. I'm a big picture person. Right? So sometimes our personality will bring chaos. She, yeah, I'm not the only one that has bad personality. If she says, I want to clean this room, that means something totally different than if I say, I want to clean this room. If I say I want to clean the room, I look for what is visible and what is easy. She says, I'll start in this corner of a room in the other side of the house. Because in order to get to that room I want to clean, I've got to work from this, put everything in order, probably rearrange the furniture, right? Because you have to clean under it, and while you're cleaning under it, you might as well rearrange it in order to get over there. And then she'll say, hey, this will only take an hour. And what I bring chaos into her life, because she'll say something like, hey, would you mind taking care of the dishes? And what that means to me is, there's dishes, I'll do the dishes. What it means to her is, you do the dishes, you put them in the dishwasher, you start the dishwasher, you wipe the counters, you put all the food away. Like, you do a white glove on the whole kitchen. And I'm like, why didn't you say that? She said, I did. I said, do the dishes. Right? And so there's chaos by personality that we bring to each other. Much less, there could be health, personality. How about sin? Does sin bring chaos? Absolutely. Selfishness brings chaos. Okay? And why don't you, I think that's your statement. That's a good statement.
Well, I was actually going to change it.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were talking about hurricane season and how that, you know, when you know the storm is coming, you go outside and you clean up your yard and you put all the stuff away because you know there's a storm coming. But if you don't go outside and put all the stuff away, then you really shouldn't be upset if your windows get broken and things are damaged. because you knew that these things were problems. So if you create a problem, you shouldn't really be too upset about it and feel frustrated and call it chaos, because it's kind of your undoing. You have a responsibility to take care of it.
Yeah, so what we want is for the storm to not come. We want the hurricane to not come, yeah. Right? And while we're sitting there pouting about the hurricane not coming, or that it, we don't clean up the yard, right? And I'm just going to tell you, the storm's coming. And it could be joyful things, it could be good opportunities. The storm is coming, and it's going to put your life in upheaval, but your lack of preparing for it, or drawing closer to it, or navigating it, is going to maximize the chaos instead of minimize the chaos. And instead of wishing that this didn't happen or wishing it wasn't this way, you got to start cleaning up your yard, because the winds are going to blow. They're going to come. And so if you're going to do that, you have to navigate. There's going to be chaos, confusion, things that are out of your control, things that overwhelm you. These things are going to happen, right? Don't pretend to live in a life where they don't, but identify them. Are they external? Are they something that can be managed? Okay? And I don't know, we had, you know, with our 8 children, when you leave the house, it's like you're moving. It's like you're moving. And my wife, especially when we had our first 3 or 4, and I really wasn't there very much, to be honest, she just did it. She just did it. She'd put them in the car seats and put the stroller, and she'd put the diaper bag, and she'd go into the shopping center with more than most people carry out. Okay? And then I would have an opportunity to be, and I'm like, we got to take this, we got to do this, and what about, this is so annoying. Like, okay, what's your solution? Get rid of the children? Right? Like complaining about the chaos of blessing minimizes the blessing that's causing the chaos. Right? But it's a tendency to do, especially any control freaks. Right? Control freaks want things to be a certain way, and I'm not even good at them being a certain way. I just want it to be all about me. And all of a sudden you have these children, these blessings, and the chaos that they bring into your life, and the complaining about that, really what you're complaining about is God's blessing. God's blessing. Okay? You have one child, that's God's blessing. You have 6 children, that's God's blessing. Right? And there's going to be chaos. So the next thing that we have is this. Okay, so we're going to navigate. We're complete opposites. Okay? So chaos is coming. I have a response to chaos. She has a response to chaos. Those responses are completely different. And so what happens is our unique responses to chaos tend to cause us to be different, separate, because I'm going, what's your problem? And she's going, hello, you don't even realize there's chaos. You're oblivious. And so part of that is we have to be right. But to be honest, part of that too is the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. You kind of have to know what the person's like. Right? So this is something, we're going to give you some, but this is a blank slate. You have to answer this question. How do you naturally, individually, and as a couple respond to chaos? How do you do it? Okay? And so let me give you my negatives. Here's my negative response. Okay, let me say this better. Here's the perceived negatives. Like, I might spin these as positives, because this is the way I do it. She would see them as negatives. Okay. It's possible they could be both. But we're going to put them under negatives. Okay? This is me. Avoid. Avoid. Right? Now, I would do it in a super haughty way. Like, that doesn't bother me. You know, because...
That's a positive.
Yeah. Well, like, I would say not be bothered. She would say avoid. Dismiss. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Which we'll talk about later. That could be good if it's something that's not a big deal. But it could be really bad if it's something that is a big deal. But my response to chaos is that, whether it's a small deal or a big deal. Okay? When we were in Budapest, Hungary, back in 2001, Jackson accidentally bumped Riley, and she went head first into a radiator, busted her head open. And she was 2 years old. Both of the interpreters were out of town. We were only there for the summer. We didn't speak Hungarian. My daughter's bleeding from the head. And my wife is like, this is a big deal. And I was like, calm down. Everything's fine. Right? And so I called the interpreter and couldn't get a hold of him. I called our doctor who was coming to see Caden, and the doctor couldn't understand me. All he could get out was, I'll have my English teacher call you. So the English teacher called me and she said, the doctor will be there to see the baby tomorrow. That's the only English phrase she could get out. She couldn't figure out that we have a daughter bleeding from the head. Right? She's starting to be bothered by this. I said, it's fine. I'll take care of it. I went into the other room and got a Band-Aid. And I'm telling her, calm down. Which is not great advice to tell somebody to calm down. Okay? I'm like, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I'll take care of it. I opened the Band-Aid and I went to put the Band-Aid on her head, and my hands were shaking so bad that I couldn't, because I was pretending to be calm. Right? Now, God is good. God helped us through it. And we found somebody and got her to the hospital. They glued her head back together and it all worked out. It was awesome. Okay? But in that moment, I was bothered by her response. And she was bothered by my response because I wanted her to act like me. But I really don't want her to act like me. Right? So avoiding, dismissing, delaying. Anybody procrastinator? What happens when you procrastinate chaos? Bigger chaos. Right? But I would rather enjoy the peace of this moment and pass off and have a bigger, because I'm living in the moment, right? I'm living right now. And why would I give up peace right now? Who knows? Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it'll go away. Now, does it typically go away? Has it ever gone away? But next time, it'll go away. She doesn't like to delay. She wants to talk about it now. She wants to talk about it now, right? So delay. Minimize. I minimize, okay? I hunker. In other words, I don't have a good response. I make her, she wants to navigate the chaos, and then I was going to say ridicule, maybe. I get onto her for pointing it out, because in my hunkered mentality, if I don't see it, it's not there. Why did you bring it to know? You created it, right? And all she did was point it out. And so that's one of my negatives. How about rage? Is rage a potential response to chaos? Yeah, I have a potential for doing that. How about this? I have big ideas with no implementation of solutions. Here's how it starts. Here's what we're going to do. Right? Here's what we're going to do. And I say, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to take over NASA, and then we're going to do this, and everything will be fine. And then 2 weeks later, She's like, nothing's changed. And I say, here's what we're going to do. And this cycle will often repeat. And here's the problem. When I say that big idea, I really mean it. I really mean it. Okay? Your kids are doing this and they need to be disciplined. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in the dog whisperer. We're, you know, whatever. I got this big grand idea, but that's not a solution. Ideas are not a solution to chaos. Right? It has to be implemented. And so those are potentially my negatives. We didn't put down her negatives because she has none. Her negatives would be the opposite of all those. Right? Do you want to list any negatives?
Well, yeah. I think when my response probably would be more to second guess myself. Mm. Assume the wrong, assume everything that I did. I'm going to cry. assume that we've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Which isn't always right.
Because it may just be chaos.
But that chaos will, it will spark negativity and fear, I guess,
yeah,
if I'm not in the right perspective. And so he doesn't help that sometimes. Yeah.
I'm a decision maker. She's an analyzer. I decide, and we'll figure out if it's the right decision later.
That's great.
And if it's the wrong decision, we'll make another one. Right? She wants to weigh. She wants to weigh it out. And it, which is awesome. If there is a, if there's a negative in that, then at some point you got to make a decision. And to be honest, probably one of the, it's the chaos of two or three good things. Mm-hmm. Two or three good things. What should we do? Should we do this? Or should we do this? Or should we do this? I'm like, let's do that one. She's like, why? I don't know. Because we got to decide. And I'll just decide right now. She's like, arbitrarily? Absolutely. Right? And she's like, well, let's weigh this one. And let's weigh this one. And this way, like, you know, and we weigh them all. And then when we're done, I'm like, which one do you want? She's like, I don't know. Right? And so then I'm like, let's do this one. Okay? Any other negatives you want to bring up? Because I got a few more. No, just kidding. How about some positives? There's some positive response to chaos. Right? Because hopefully, like, here's a tendency. My tendency is to think pessimistically about the world and everything around me and very optimistically about me. Right? Her tendency is to think positively or optimistically about everything around her and pessimistically about her. Okay? And so we have to, there's personalities, like that's being, in a positive way, that's being very self-aware, being very self-instructive. In a negative way, it's taking guilt that you don't own. On my side, it's being very arrogant and very prideful. Right? On a positive side, it's like, I don't care what you think. Okay. So what are some positive responses to chaos? And I'll give hers. Ready? Is that all right? Because most of these, I think I share some of these. One is a spirit of adventure. It's just a spirit of adventure. Like, she loves roller coasters. One of our first dates, we went to the carnival, and they have this ride called the Zipper. And it goes around, and you're in a cage that goes like this as you go around. And she's like, ooh, let's ride that. I'm like, have fun. She's like, they're going to put me with some other guy. Say hello. I'm not going on that thing.
I did.
And she did. She's like, see ya. Right? When we had the opportunity, when Jackson was 3 or 4 and Riley was 2 and Caden was 9 weeks old, the church said, hey, we'd like to send you to Hungary for the summer to take the place of a missionary. Would you like to go and travel with your 3 small children to a European country you've never been at and spend 3 months there? Well, what are we going to do? I don't know. You'll figure it out when you get there. And I came home and said, what do you think? She said, let's go. Let's go. Like, I admire that so much, that her attitude towards chaos is, this is a ride. This is awesome. So having that spirit of adventure, like this is an opportunity. And so that's an awesome response to chaos. Next is flexibility. To be able to roll with the punches. Okay? Now, to be honest, she's had to learn that a lot more because she has to be flexible because of my being spontaneous. I call it spontaneous. She calls it lack of planning. We're having a definition issue here. But being flexible allows her to not be so fixated on this thing that she is unable to navigate, okay? Patience. Identifying the chaos, actually doing that and saying what it is. Go ahead.
I also just understanding that, you know, like when bad things happen, it's not necessarily negative or bad. It's not your fault. And God has a plan. And so I think sometimes we get stuck on the idea that a negative, you know, even financial decision or, you know, it's just over frustrating and it's ruined. But God has a plan in that, and he's trying to mold our spirit and teach us. And so if we're so fixated on the objective that we have in our mind, we miss the opportunity to let God work on those parts of our heart that need molding and tempering. And that comes from being flexible, but also comes from recognizing God's sovereign hand over all the things and not just
absolutely
taking the
well, it's taking ownership
over ourselves
when you have no control. Mm-hmm. Right? Anybody ever worry about things that don't have control over? Right? It's like you are taking, literally, you're taking God's responsibility upon yourself. And you're trying to stop the hurricane when all you're supposed to do is clean up your yard. Okay? Not having unhealthy attachments to things or events or people. Right? My tendency is to not have attachments. Period. And her tendency is to not have unhealthy attachments. So I've had to learn from her that you want good attachments, but you don't want unhealthy attachments, right? And so we wanted to list these things because as a couple, you need to have that conversation. Like if we're going to grow closer together in chaos, we got to fit. What is the chaos? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it something that we need to avoid or do away with? Or is it a blessing that God has given us that we have to make sure we're looking at the greater purpose of it than just the minutia craziness that is existing around us? And so let's do the next one. And that is this. Shaping a response to chaos. Shaping a response to chaos. So the overall idea is, okay, we want to grow closer together. Okay, that sounds great, right? But by definition of chaos, there is so much going on and there are so many things happening that it's almost like I need all of that to stop so that we can grow closer together. But that's not the way it's going to work, is it? Right? It's not the way it's going to work. And I remember when we first started having little kids, and she helped me with this, is I was constantly hoping for the blessings of the next stage instead of just enjoying the blessings of the stage that we were at, right? So she had these little kids that were basically, you know, parasites. That's what they were. And I'm like, they don't play with you. They don't talk to you. How annoying is that? Like, honey, why can't they be five? At least when they're five, we can, you know, have them jump and fall and laugh at them. I want them to be five, right? And then when they're five, it's like, it's just a little kid, you know? Why can't they be somebody that I can go out and play sports with? You know, I throw the ball and it just hits them in the face. It's just boring, right? And that was my tendency to be so noticing the chaos of the moment. And I thought, oh, could I have the blessing of the next? And I was missing the blessing, and I was over-anticipating the lack of chaos in the next stage, right? You'll find out if your kids aren't older that I worry about my older kids much more than I worried about my little kids, because I knew my little kids were taken care of. My older kids, I've become weird about it, right? Because I can follow some of them on my phone. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm seeing where they are. And
I don't do that.
No. And realizing, like, man, you got to enjoy every stage. So shaping a response to chaos. And you want to start and talk about that determination?
Well, it matters where your what your objectives are. And so you have to determine what your outlook is going to be and determine what your practice of life is going to be. So, you know, there's a certain amount of chaos that every family operates in, and every family gets to set their own. I know, like, when you're raising children, small children, some parents have a smaller boundary, and other parents let their children do many other things. The boundaries are different. And so this family tolerates this, and this family tolerates this. And so there's nothing necessarily wrong or wicked about that, but we're different. And so we get to shape and set the boundary that we have in the practice and the outlook of our own life so that we operate according to our value system and our principles, rather than just taking life as it comes and being affected by life, like taking these obstacles that God has put in our life and then using the principles that we have designed our life to allow God to use those for our blessing and for other people's blessings as well.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. Like, I would go into somebody else's house, and the way their family functions would be chaos for me. It would be. And it doesn't appear to be chaos for them. God bless them, right? They're probably not human, but it's chaos. But they would probably come in my house and be like, whoa, that's weird. And so we have some ability to draw those lines. So let me give you the first one, and I want to explain it. And this first one is important to me. A daily return to foundational truths. A daily return to foundational truths. Okay? The reason that this is important is because if we don't have a daily return to the foundational truths, chaos, good or bad, right? Good or bad, has a way of shaking that foundation and cracking that foundation. Okay? And so for example, when we had, you know, all the kids at home, and I would come home, and if she was frazzled or bothered, and then she was taking care of them or whatever, and I'm like, what about me? Right? Like, over time, if you let those things begin to build up, it'll start shaking foundational truths. So what we often do is we wait for the explosion to test the foundation. That's a mistake, right? We need to bolster the foundation through the daily chaos, because we're going to need to be able to stand on that, okay? And so let me give you some examples of foundational truths, okay? Here's, and I may be a little bit weird, but this goes through my brain. I am where God wants me to be. I am married to who God wants me to be married to. And she loves me. I am doing what God wants me to do to the best of my ability. Because you're like, duh. I'm just going to tell you, the chaos would say the opposite of all those things. Right? The chaos would say, oh, look, she didn't love you. Oh, look, you should probably move and go to another place. Oh, look, if you change this, everything would be better. And man, we get blown about. And I got to come back to these foundational truths so that it's not the million paper cuts of chaos that begin to sway me. And I say this, okay? This is crazy. Life is crazy. I am where I'm supposed to be. I am doing what God wants me to do to the best of my ability. and I'm married to who God wants me to marry. I have the children that God wants me to have. And so therefore, this chaos is a part of it. Okay? And it gives me stability. I can stand on it. You want to give a foundational truth?
Well, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And so I'm not living for myself. I'm living for the Lord, and I'm living for my family, and I'm living for my ministry. And if I put those things in perspective, then the frustrations that would happen, because they do, whether it's just personality or whether it's a crisis or whether it's some other crisis that we get to deal with in ministry even, then I get to remind myself that it really doesn't matter if I didn't get to cook dinner, or it really doesn't matter if, you know, the kids, whatever, didn't happen the way it was supposed to according to my plan or my schedule, because the greater goal and the greater good is that I'm living my life for the Lord. And I lately, I would say the struggle that I've had is strangely worse than when my kids were young. It was so much easier to have a sweet spirit. They might not think so. Pray for your younger siblings. But the stress is now, like, my job is to, inside of this stress, to demonstrate the love of Christ to my children, because they're watching me handle life that doesn't always happen the way we want it to, and that's very important. And when I keep that mindset, the chaos, you know, you deal with it and you roll with it and you figure it out, but it doesn't become the thing that is driving me. My principle is what's driving me. And as long as my principle drives me, I trend towards a positive response. Trend.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because a bad response to chaos will create more chaos. Okay? The problem with chaos, that in general, it makes you forget your purpose and perspective. Now, here's, I think, is a big issue. Most of us may have had moments of extreme chaos. But that's not typically what gets us. What gets us is the building of the normal chaos. The normal chaos. And isn't it funny? I find this humorous. I revel in not having to go through other people's chaos. I'll give you an example. We're driving into town, and there is a car line at the school that is 60 or 70 cars deep. And we're driving by, and we look at each other, and we go, they're going to have to do that again at 3:00. Like, those people are crazy. Right? Like, I'm like, man. And it's like, I can see that. But what happens is that I have my own things that people look at my life and go, they're crazy. Okay? And it's that minutia. And sometimes we disrespect the chaos. A mom that has 3 little kids, that is by definition chaos. By definition. And a dad comes in and says, come on, is this really a big deal? Couldn't you have done this? Couldn't you have the kids do this? And we disrespect the chaos. And I'm going to tell you, that is not a way to grow closer. We have to recognize that the burden of that chaos that that person is feeling is legitimate. And so we have to be willing to restate that purpose and perspective. Here's another one. To glorify God and to make Him known. She was talking about that, to glorify God. Now think about this. Has it ever been annoying to you that your children behave so much better for other people than they do for you? You're like, I'm scared to drop these kids off because I don't know how they're going to act. And you come back and pick them up and they're like, they were awesome. They were angels. Now, either the people are lying or there's some innate thing where you perform better for others. Right? But it's not just kids. We perform better for others. Okay? And the foundational purpose that we lean on to glorify God and to make Him known, it has to start in the foundational places, okay? As opposed to just you go out and you talk to somebody in the community, you're a witness and you're kind and you're gracious and you're patient and you're, and then you come home. And it's like your purpose has ended. You have as much responsibility to glorify God and make Him known in your home as much as you do out with strangers. Right? And so we have to return to these things every single day. We have to return. Okay? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so the next one would be a daily submission to biblical truths. And so as a family, the biblical truths that we all know are to love, forgive, be long-suffering, gentle, good, kind, towards one another, and not be resentful, not be bitter. And these things don't come naturally. So obviously spending time in God's Word is vital as a person and as a couple to be able to put perspective together, have a game plan and a ministry perspective together. And I know that's, we're in ministry, but every married couple is also in ministry. Your marriage is your ministry, and your family is your ministry to the world. And Brother Nobles did a great job of talking about that yesterday. And that should not be, you shouldn't overlook that in your own personal lives. Your marriage is a very visible testimony to the world around us.
Yeah, so it's the idea. So when you think about going against the current and you're rowing, what happens if you stop rowing for a little bit? Man, you're, and the row back against the current is so much harder. So much harder. And so the idea of these daily things, daily forgiveness, and it's, I'm just going to be honest, it's hard. It's hard. One of the things, and it, a lot of it's my problem because I'm like, woohoo, fly by the seat of my pants. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And she's like, when are we going to talk? I don't know, but we'll talk, right? And so in order to do these things, you have to be willing to actually have a conversation about it, right? In the midst of that. And so be willing to do that. Another idea that we had is this. We need to make sure that our theological positions are not just books on our bookshelf, but something that we take out and handle. Okay? For example, do we have a theological position that because Christ forgave us, we should forgive others? Absolutely. But when we need to forgive, we're okay with that being on the bookshelf in a theological book. But we don't take out and work with it and handle it. And one of the things that's beneficial, that chaos will help you, this life minutiae chaos, how many days go by as a wife that there's not something that you need to forgive your husband for? Personal example. There's not many days that go by that she has to forgive me for something, right? And this is a mistake. Well, I don't want to forgive. That's not a big deal. I'm not going to forgive him for that. No, you need to take that theological truth and you need to take it out and you need to work with it. You need to handle it. This is something that God has given me the power to do because He's forgiven me. She's going to forgive me. You hear that? She's going to forgive me. Right? And that idea, she mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. Like, we need to take those out and say, okay, the Bible says I need to have joy, love, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. Like, we all believe that, but we often don't take them out and stretch them and look at them and say, okay, what does that look like right here, right now? And so this daily return to biblical truth is not waiting for the explosion. It's practicing my theology in an everyday activity will either avoid the explosion or will help me be ready when it comes. It'll help me be ready when it comes. Okay? And by God's grace, we haven't had a child run away from the Lord. But we have to forgive these miserable children now. And we have to treat them with grace and mercy and kindness now. Man, and we put high expectations on that. But if we don't do that, if we're like, well, we should deserve more respect, and we, and we, and we, and we, and we. Well, what's going to be our attitude if one of them did run from the Lord? Do you think it's going to be mercy and grace and forgiveness and kindness? You play like you practice. And we need to be practicing these theological things. Praise the Lord for the chaos. It gives you opportunity to practice what you believe. You know what that's called? Faith. Faith. Okay? The next one, go ahead.
Spending time in prayer and Bible reading together. Our most private moments are with God. And as married couples, our most private moments should be shared. And if our most private moments are not shared, then my husband's new favorite quote is that assumptions are the worst form of communication. And I would 100% agree with that. And
assumption is the lowest form of knowledge.
No, lowest form of knowledge. And so I can assume that he has a spiritual walk with the Lord, but if he doesn't demonstrate that to me, then I get to guess whether his commitment is real or whether it's, you know, just for the public, I guess. And so prayer connects people and it gives purpose to a relationship and a purpose to a ministry. And without that, then you're just guessing.
Yeah, one of Brother Mitten's favorite quotes is, when communication breaks down, motives are assumed. An assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Okay? And so you go back up to that personal response to chaos. If you begin avoiding dealing with the small minutiae chaos that exists in your life, guess what you're going to build? You're going to build assumption. You're going to break down communication. And then your spouse is going to say something to you that you're like, what? She may say, well, do you have a spiritual walk? What? Of course I do. Well, how would she know? How would she know? And here's the problem is, when we don't return to those foundational truths, when we don't rest on them every single day, if you're waiting for life to slow down so that you can just happen to spend this time together, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And so that concept, so I was telling her this morning, part of it is in we have used definitions and we've lifted the weight of responsibility from us, okay? So this is in my mind. So when we first got married, she was waiting, okay? She made some assumptions about me that I knew what I was doing, and she was waiting for us to have family devotions. I was oblivious. Finally, she stopped waiting and started having devotions with the kids. I happened to be home one day and she's having devotion. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, we're reading the Bible, having devotions. I'm like, oh, what a great idea. Right? I didn't grow up with that pattern. And it's something if you lean on your baggage, you'll fail. And often that has diminished, often, or it's been overlooked or it's been set aside. And I was thinking about that. Why is that something that could be on the chopping block? Why is that? Well, just think of the terminology. Well, the reason we have family devotions is because we want to teach our kids about the Bible. Praise the Lord. The reason that we sing and pray is because we want to come together and sing and pray before we go to bed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. But what about this? The reason we read the Bible and sing and pray together, it's because our God is worthy of worship inside our home. See, in my brain, if I miss a day of instructing my kids, I'll just make it up tomorrow. If I miss a day of singing and praying, well, we're late and we're tired, just hurry up and go to bed. You know, it's not a big deal. But if I miss a day of leading my family in worship to the God that I want them to serve, that's more of an offense to him than it is a failure to them. And when you realize that, and you're like, whoa, I've been letting the chaos determine my foundation instead of letting my foundation navigate the chaos. And when she sees, wow, there is a foundation, there is a security, a rest. Now we have a platform to grow closer together on. Okay? And if we're not, if we're just like, it's fine, it's no big deal, we're just trying. Well, how are we supposed to grow to... There's no commonality. There's no avenue. And so that's why we need these foundational truths in order to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the next one is to be trustworthy. And so in chaos, our families drift. Our couples, you know, as a couple we drift. We don't have the time to communicate. And so in the most basic senses, to be trustworthy is to hold true to the values that you think that you know about each other when you're not around. And that's not just the big picture items, but also the daily minutiae of life, in the sense that as a wife, my husband is supposed to, his heart is supposed to safely trust in me. I'm supposed to take care of the things that are in my purview to do. And if he has to wonder if I'm going to be able to take care of those things, obviously we all need help sometimes, but is the general course of my life taking care of the things that God has put in my life or not? And vice versa. As a wife, we should be able to look at our husbands, and they should be performing, and we should be able to expect of them when we're not around that this is the way they're operating for this goal we have in the future, so that when we do come back together, here we are and we're on the same page. We haven't been able to be with each other and have the communication during this particular season or that particular season. But when we come together, we're ready together to move forward from that point on.
Okay, let me give you these last three because we're out of time. And you can write them down. These are, I think, very helpful to us. If you're going to be able to shape a response to chaos, you need to have an eternal mindset to a temporal crisis. This too shall pass. You need to have an eternal mindset to a temporal crisis. Have a proper relationship with events in time. Isn't it amazing how whatever you're doing, it seems like it'll never end if it's negative, right? It'll never end. And then it ends, and you're like, oh, well, that wasn't such a big deal. Proper relationship with space and time. The next one is create a value system of priorities. Create a value system of priorities. We, as Baptists, are so enamored with conduct. But conduct is not a great way to navigate life. Life is way more complicated than that. We need to create a value system. What is valuable in this situation, in this moment, is how I'm going to determine my priorities, not just the do good and do don't, not do good. Next one, number four, creative ways of making and finding time for complete conversations. Finding time for complete conversations. Emphasis on the word complete. We have this thing sometimes where she said, oh, well, we just haven't talked about that. And I'm like, we talked about it. What she means is finished talking about it. What I mean is it came up at some point in conversation. Okay? So you have to come to a place of completion. And then the last one, have a flexible set of non-negotiables. A flexible set of non-negotiables. Because if not, you'll fall for the bait of making chaos, you know, delaying chaos for the expediency of this moment. Okay? I'll give you one example of this. We had a rule. Our kids don't watch anything that we haven't watched. That's our rule. So they're over at somebody else's house and they say, do you want to watch this? And what it used to be is, hey, Dad, can we watch this? I don't know. I guess I'll look at it. I don't know. They're waiting to see if we can watch it. Everybody else is watching. I don't know. Okay. Watch it. Just don't tell your mother. That's chaos. Now we have a non-negotiable. I just say, have we seen it? No. Don't watch it. You need me to come pick you up? Right? And so have a flexible set of non-negotiables. Because what it does is give you stability as the winds blow. You need to be able to navigate. What if you have those things. Now, and guys, we're supposed to lead. We want to grow closer together. And if we're just being blown about all over with the chaos, how is she even supposed to get close to us? We have to be the ones that can stand in the midst of the storm. And she'll gladly nestle up next to us because there's stability. Okay. We have to go, so say one last thing. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.